Okay, we're holding today. We're learning Perek Yud Beis of the Tiferes Yisrael. The Maral is going to continue here to make the case for the value of Limud HaTorah specifically. Last week, he was working to address directly the philosopher kind of approach, where they said that the value of learning, they saw the value of learning as being much greater when a person would be studying the constellations, when a person would be studying the malachim, the angels, you know, the higher science, mystical knowledge, as opposed to when a person is studying what we consider to be the real knowledge, the basics of Torah, Shar Shonaga Chesapara. Person understands the rules, ox scores a cow, and so on and so forth, you know, as mundane as it sounds, right? So the philosophers found it too mundane to be considered something of value, and yet we consider it the basics of our learning. So last week, we saw how the Maral approached this, and he said, well, there are two aspects that we have to see here. One is that when we're studying Torah, we're studying Yosher. We're studying that which creates the perfect balance, and we talked about it both in terms of it being the yosher, that which is just and appropriate, which of course is going to be an attachment to the source of yosher, to the source of that which is just and appropriate to the Ribbono Shel Olam, as well as the Maral's more Maralian explanation of it, where he spoke about Urion Plosa, right, that Gemara that spoke about the triple Torah being given to the triple people in the third month, you know, and so on and so forth, where he explained, as we discussed, that the Torah is there not to deal with extremes which necessarily go off, which exist in the physical world, but to try to forge them into one, to make them even. And then, on the other hand, the Maral also spoke about the fact that looking at anything else is studying a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the physical world, whereas when we're studying the Torah, we're studying the thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. The thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's studying something which is metaphysical as opposed to studying something which is just mundane and physical. That was what we saw last week. And the Maral continues here on this discussion today in the Perek Yud Beis with a different tack in being able to understand this. And we're able to understand this, the significance, as he says, "V'zeh aparak naisif l'chatuf tam v'das." Well, idea oy tos ha'anoshim ha'elu. Want to give you further understanding in this, and to explain where their thinking may be off, where their thinking may be wrong. So he begins as follows. He says, the idea that guides the philosophers in their thinking, that they say that the best thing for a person to study would be to study the constellations or to study the mahus hamalochim, the nature of the angels, of those spiritual beings, is because they start with an assumption that the human being per se is an inferior being. And because the human being is himself inferior, and as he says, you know, you can quote nice psukim to support this, when David HaMelech says, "Mo enosh ki siskarenu, uven adam ki sifkedenu," right? What is man that you should remember him, child of a person that you should pay him any heed, right? A human being is fundamentally insignificant. If the human being wants to gain for himself significance, how's he going to do it? By association, right? So the knowledge which he has when he studies the stars and so on and so forth, now that's significant. When he studies the malachim and gains some understanding of them, now that is significant. So that's the way the human being is going to bring himself up from where he is, from the pitiful place which he by himself occupies.
Why that versus what we do? Because we essentially do the same thing. We are attaching to the Barsham, the Vakis, is essentially said they picked the wrong track. Why did they pick that?
Right. So that's part of it. Ultimately, what we're going to be talking about is we're trying to attach ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam through Torah, and that is what gives man, that's going to give man his distinction. But they're looking within the realm of creatures, and they're saying, okay, well, there's man, he's way down there. If man will become knowledgeable, attached through knowledge to something which is higher, in the higher echelons of creation, that's going to be an upgrade. Says the Maharal, we don't believe that at all. Because in our concept, in fact, everything is created for man. Man is the consummate creation, the ultimate creation. And man is higher than the stars of the sky or anything like that. In fact, what does the pasuk say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them berki hashamayim lahayir al haaretz. He put them in the heavens in order to illuminate the earth. So there is this idea that we have that they're all there for the sake of the earth. I'm not talking about scientific debates as to whether the sun revolves around the earth or the earth revolves around the sun, where you could have that as sort of a picture of, well, is the earth the center point around which everything goes? Something which was a scientific, you know, debate and change in early times. Right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the reality that the Torah says that it's l'hoyer al ha'aretz, that the idea that they're there in order to be able to provide illumination for the earth below to some degree. We understand, and the Maharal alludes to many times where Chazal speak about them being avadim, being servants to man. And what we would have as our greatest illustration of that is when Yosef sees the Shemesh and the Oreach, V'achad Asar Kechavim Mishtachavim Li. In his dream he sees the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to me. It is true that in an instinctive sort of basic conception of the world, a person will say, man is subject to nature. But we know the opposite, that in truth nature is subject to man. Of course, on a certain level, we have something called Ol Derech Eretz, where man is having to pay heed to nature. When man is just living a regular life, they have to pay heed to nature. They have to sleep because nature tells them to sleep. They have to put on a coat because the weather says that they have to, because otherwise they're going to be very, very cold, or vice versa. However, ultimately, we understand that the notion of Hashkocha, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine providence, means that nature is ultimately going to be made to be subservient to man. That was Yosef's dream. The Shemesh Yoreach V'Achad Asar Kechavim Mishtachavim Li. I would always like to explain, it's a very important thing, very important thing. Yosef had two dreams. The first dream was that the bundles of all the brothers would come and bow down to Yosef's bundle. And the second dream was that the sun and the moon and the stars would come and bow down to him. When Yosef had the dream about the bundles, we understand, the sheaves, whatever you call it, right? We understand what that is. As the Ramban says, Afinort, on the spot, and as is evident from the story, the whole way that the story of Yosef and the brothers unfolded, the way the 11 brothers came to bow down to the one, was for sheaves. There was a famine. Nobody had grain. Yosef was the person who was mashbir l'chol amoretz. He had the grain to provide for everybody. So therefore, they came to him for food. They came to him for grain. So it makes sense that their sheaves bow down to his sheave. But when it comes to the second dream, we don't have the same obvious correlation. The sun and the moon and the stars coming and bowing down to him, so we know that the sun and the moon and the stars refers to Yaakov and his wife, not Rachel, but Bilhah, right? And the 11 stars being the 11 brothers of Yosef, the 11 shvatim other than Yosef, right, who came and bowed down to him. We see it as a second phase, right? The first phase was when they came without Yaakov Avinu, right, when finally Yaakov Avinu surrendered Binyamin, and the second phase was when they all came down. But what's it got to do with the sun and the moon and the stars? Here also, doesn't it seem that they were coming down for food? But the idea was that the sun and the moon and the stars are what we see as the world turns. Right? That's what we see as making the world go round. The general approach of those who were the idolaters was that they worshipped the first source of it, as the Rambam explains in the Laz V'Avodah Zarah, was worshipping the sun and the moon and the stars, because after all, they are given memshala, they were given some level of dominion in the sky. What happened was, in the story of Yosef and his brothers, that as they saw that Yosef was taken down to Mitzrayim and Yosef was there in that position in order to be able to do everything for them, they saw that the whole nature of the world, how all events turned, was for the sake of the Jewish people. That the whole famine and the positioning of Yosef and the sale and everything else, it was all just to get Yosef into this position. Just to get Yosef into this position to be Mechaya, to take care of his brothers. So instead of seeing themselves as subjects of fate, they would see fate as being subject to them. The sun and the moon and the stars are bowing down to them. That, by the way, I think is when the Torah says your children will be like the stars of the sky, right? It's not just that they're bright, that they're high. It's that they make the world go round. They're the ones who, you know, their positioning, their stature and so on and so forth will completely change the world, will completely affect the world. So we view the sun and the moon and the stars as being avodim, as being servants to a human being. Malachim also. Malachim are not considered to be higher than man. Right, the Medrash says, he quotes a Medrash, where we say in the Pasuk, Vinayam, right, in the Tehillim, right, Tari Aleph, so we say, he will instruct his angels, his messengers, to guard you along the way. So tell me something. Miu Gadol, Hashemer HaNishmar, who is greater, the one who is doing the watching, or the one who is being watched? Now, there's a little bit of an issue with that Medrash, because if you recall, there's a famous Gemara where Unculus made the same point about the mezuzah. And he spoke about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands at guards our doors. Right? So, what does that show? Right? Normally, you would say, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the Jewish people like that. Look how vaunted the Jewish people are. Would we claim, therefore, that the Jewish people are higher than the Rabbanu Shalom in the world? I don't think we would give it that formulation. Right? But certainly, it's a dramatic demonstration. But here, the Medrash says, the Malachim are there to serve. And that's the fact. The fact is that the Malachim are there to serve us and to serve the as the mediation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu above and the human beings down below. So therefore, says the Maharal, logically, if a human being is the center point and these other things are there to serve him, we're going to say a human being is going to be raised up by studying the nature of those things which are actually considered of lesser significance than he, considered lower on the totem pole than him. So it's very hard to be able to see that. So that is his rejection of the perspective of the philosophers, that the human being starts off inferior, and therefore the way to lift himself up is by studying these other things. That's not that doesn't work. The human being instead, however, should be seen as Ikar Habriya, as the mainstay of the Bria, of the purpose of creation, of what it's all about. So really what the Maharal is going to dedicate himself to in the balance of this perek is really a discussion of how the human being is the Tzuras HaBria, is the ultimate purpose of all of creation, and how the Torah plays the role in helping the human being to be able to maximize that. So, you understand, it's sort of like an elegant overlap of ideas that the Maharal is putting together in this perek, very much connected, in order to make his point. The philosophers see the human being as not being the greatest thing on earth. And therefore, by association, he has to move to things which are higher in the pecking order. We, however, see the human being as the highest thing on earth, and that which gives tzura, that which is able to give shape and context to the entire world, and therefore Adam doesn't lift himself up by association with any other creature, but Adam does lift himself up and does serve the purpose of being the Tzuras HaBriya by his study of Torah, which helps the person accomplish that. So now that's what we're going to look at here. How the Maharal explains it, how the Maharal illustrates it. Adam was the last creation. everything was made, Kishulchan Aruch Lefanav, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem made Adam. In a sense, Adam is even like a second creation, as we say, of the sixth day. On the sixth day, Hashem created the behemoth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and the Pasuk says, and he saw that it was good. And, you know, usually when he saw that it was good, he was ready to call it a day. Right? But that was the end of the, so to speak, the six dimensions of creation. But Hashem went and created Adam, who maybe, really didn't even, maybe, as we've discussed before, did belong on the sixth day. Maybe in a certain sense, he was really a creation of the seventh day. Maybe Adam was a creation of the seventh day. What do I mean by that? You know, it says about Shabbos, about the original Shabbos, Vayvarech Elohim Es Yom HaShviʼi Vayikadesh Oseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. So what does that mean, that he blessed it and he sanctified it? So Rashi says, Vayvarech Elohim Es Yom HaShviʼi Vayikadesh Berchai B'mon. He blessed it with mon. Why? Because all the days of the week, one measure of mon came down. On Friday, two measures of mon came down, an extra measure, bracha, for the sake of Shabbos. The kitshay b'mon, and he also sanctified it with mon, which was because mon didn't fall on Shabbos. Doubled up on Friday, and refrained from doing it on Shabbos. That's the lecha mishnah, the double loaf that we have on Shabbos. To remember that. So there was a blessing on the previous day, what there isn't on Shabbos. That, of course, is true for us as well. It wasn't just the case with the mon, it's the case with us all the time. Person has to survive for 7 days in a week, right? You have to be able to eat, you have to be able to have shelter and so on and so forth, but you don't work 7 days a week. So basically, you have to double up. Now, you may not double up literally in your normal work week, right, on Friday. You may not. Some people might, right? You know, on Friday they'll work to cover all the things they're having on Shabbos, depending on the kind of work which the person does. Right? If a person is regular, American 5-day work week kind of a person, so then you understand that I work 5 days to get paid enough to cover me for 7. When it comes to cooking, though, certainly, yeah, you understand. Misha tarach b'erev Shabbos, yechol b'Shabbos on Friday. Well, you don't end up cooking that much for Friday, right? But you cook, you have to not only take care of your food needs for Friday, you have to take care also of your food needs for Shabbos. So you don't do them on Shabbos. We're doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So arguably, Hashem also had 7 days worth of work. And, however, on the sixth day, he doubled up and he did the work which he had to do on the seventh. The human being, as number one, a spiritual creation, one could see as a Shabbistic creation. Number two, the human being as the tachlis of creation could be seen also as a Shabbistic creation, because Shabbos is tachlis. Soif ma'aseh v'machshav atchila. The ultimate purpose ended up being the last creation. So in a certain sense, while there's a big area of focus to say, well, man is created on the sixth day because man does belong to some degree with the animals. He's an animal, plus, right? He's an animal given an neshama, which is not just then plus, but supposed to be transformative. And man's relationship to the animal kingdom was discussed, sometimes he could be higher, sometimes he could be lower, and so on. Right? That's where he belongs on the sixth day. Those are the aspects, but in a certain aspect, he's the bria of the shvi, of the seventh day. And I'm saying this primarily because, to understand that man is tachlis. It's all about him. And the whole world is, in that sense, to be his. And that's what Hashem said when he created Adam. I'm creating him, and he will rule over the Gas Hayom, and Aif HaShamayim, Uvabahem of Chol Eretz. He will rule over everything which existed in creation until this point in time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 10 Ma'amoris, in 10 statements we've discussed before. Why? So that way man is the last creation. So it's graduated and it leads up to man and it puts man at the pinnacle of creation. So that, if he's a tzaddik, it justifies all of creation. If he's a rasha, heaven forbid, it undoes all of creation. So man is supposed to be the end point, the ultimate point of all of the bria. And the Maharal explains here in a line something which he alludes to discussing elsewhere. Rabbi Hartman says, I don't know where else the Maharal discusses this, The truth is, and I'm surprised he didn't bring it, maybe he brings in a different footnote. It's impossible to read all of, for me at least, to read all of the footnotes. But Rav Hutner has a beautiful mimer on this in the Pachad Yitzchak on Shabbos, which discusses this matter, where it says on the Yom HaShishi, he says when Hashem created man, so you would have expected for him at least there should be a kitayv, right? And Hashem saw that it was good, but it doesn't say it. It says Vayivra Elokim Asadam Etalmai Vetalam Elokim Barayis Vezachar Nekeva Barayisam. Excuse me. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvarei.
Amen.
He created him male and female, and he blessed him, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the land and control it, capture it, rule over the fish and the birds, and so on. And Hashem said to man, Hinei Vayomer Elokim. By the way, interestingly, this is the tenth mimer, the tenth statement. Hinei Nasati Lechem is called Esav Zerei Azera. I've given you all of these different things to eat, the grasses, the fruits, and so on, the animals I've given, what I've given them, and so it was. And then it says, "Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa." And Hashem saw all that He had made, "V'hinei tov ma'od," and behold, it was very good. And it was evening, and it was morning, the sixth day. So it doesn't say "ki tov" on the creation of man. But it says, okay, so you could say, because the human being isn't shalom. The human being is a work in progress. Ki toiv means it's done, it's perfect, right? When Hashem, on the second day, Hashem also didn't say ki toiv. Why? Because what did He do on the second day? He separated the waters above and the waters below, but there was still work to be done with the waters. You have to put it in the oceans on the third day when He finished it. So it was a work in progress. Man, by definition, is a work in progress. So therefore, He doesn't say it by man. Excellent. Pan echad latayra. That's one aspect of why it doesn't take kitayv by man, because man is a work in progress. But it doesn't say tayv ma'id on Adam, it says tayv ma'id on kol asher asa. Says the Maharal, that's the tayv ma'id. And Chazal say it, because tayv ma'id, Chazal say, this is not a chassidah shavart, ma'id, jumble the letters, and what do you get? Adam. That tov, where it says very good, is actually the reference of Kitay for Adam. But in what context does it say it? It says it by Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa. He saw everything that He had made. Why? Because the purpose and role of man in the world isn't that, oh, I created man, another nice creation. Man is the creation that is supposed to bring it all together. If everything is for the purpose of Adam, then Adam doesn't just bring as himself a goodness to the world, but Adam brings that goodness to the totality of Bria, to the totality of creation. Es kol asher asa v'hinei tov ma'od. That's the description, that's the kitayv of Adam, says the Maharal. Avudan has a beautiful mimer on this, where he speaks about this idea of that this, he says, is sort of like the ultimate Einek Shabbos. Because where do you have, we have a mitzvah of Einek Shabbos. Where did Hashem have Einek Shabbos? What's the Einek, right? We're always doing Shabbos like Hashem did Shabbos. Where's Hashem's Einek Shabbos? Where Hashem looked and He saw, Es kol asher asa v'hinei tov ma'od. It was this comment that Hashem said as He finished the Bria on the sixth day, He entered Shabbos looking at the creation and saying, ah, it's good. And that's iskalalus, that's bringing it all together. Which is, of course, when you reach the end point, is bringing it all together. Right, the seventh, right, as opposed to the sixth, which is one over here and one over there and one over here and one over there and one over here and one over there. The seventh is the center point that they all revolve around. Shabbos is supposed to be that which brings everything together. Everything you did during the week where you were all over the place now comes home on Shabbos. Al yete ish mim kaime b'yem ha-shvi. Shabbos isn't disparate. Shabbos is unifying. Is unifying. That's vayichulu, right? Is again a lashon of kol, right? Of everything, right? That's what Shabbos is supposed to do. It's supposed to bring it all together. That's why we're mizmar shir l'yem ha-shabbos. You see, I understand why this is happening to this person. Bad thing. You got to wait till you have the whole picture, till everything is together, till the end. The end is what brings it all together. And man is created at the end because he is the one who brings it all together. Man is therefore the Tachlis HaBriyah. And Maral explains a beautiful chazal, again, to just continue on the idea of the sun and the moon and the stars being servants, so to speak, to HaKadosh, to the human being. Right? Malachim, by the way, if we're going to talk about Adam, so what does it say? How did Adam eat? In Gan Eden, the Malachim were filtering wine and roasting meat for him. Whatever that means, right? Adam didn't eat meat. Right? But in other words, the Malachim were waiting on him, hand and foot. But the Maral brings a famous chazal, what the Gemara says, which is that the two heels of Adam are Rishayim, right? The language of chazal was that they were like Shnei Galgale Chama, like two balls of the sun, right? This is in the Agadita in Bava Basra, where the Gemara describes that, you know, a person went and he saw the Maris HaMachpelah. He was able to see, you know, the various places, components within the Maris HaMachpelah. And he saw Adam HaRishon lying there, and he saw his two heels were like the two, like two Galgalicham, like two suns. He says, what does this mean? That the two heels of Adam HaRishon were like the sun. But usually we explain it simply, quote unquote, that the idea is that we know Moshe Rabbeinu, his face shone. They couldn't look at him. The Zakenim said, Pnei Moshe ki Pnei Chama. The face of Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun. It was so bright. Yeshua, relative to Moshe, was like the Levana. You can't look at the sun directly. They couldn't look at Moshe Rabbeinu directly. And the idea was that the neshama, the soul of Adam HaRishon, shone through, right? Of Moshe Rabbeinu, shone through. Normally, because of the sin of Adam HaRishon, the soul resides in the body, but it doesn't affect the body. It doesn't transform the body. The body remains with its own being, with its own desires, with its own separate identity and direction. But in the world, the way it was supposed to be, in Adam's world, the soul transforms the body. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved that to some level, that his face shone with the light of the neshama. Adam HaRishon, who was, you know, beyond, Adam HaRishon, even his heel, that is normally not the place where you would see, right? We would see on a person's face their spirituality, right? You can see when you see a person who's Ernst, Ehrlich, Tyredik, you know, you see it on their face, right? Chachmas Adam Ta'ir Ponav, right? But on a heel, you know, a heel is, you'll see dead, calloused flesh. Adam HaRishon, his neshama was so strong, he saw it even through his heel. He saw it even through the most deadened part of his physicality. Well, he's just describing after his death. Even after his death, there's still remnants of it. However, the Maral says it a little more lefidarkai. And he says like this, that the idea is that there's Adam has a chaymer, and Adam has a tzura. Adam has his physicality, and Adam has his tzura, his structure, his form. That which gives shape to Adam HaRishon, that which gives direction to Adam HaRishon. Like we always speak about matter and form. There's the substance, and then there's the direction, the form and the purpose which that is given. The akev, the heel, is chaymer. It's physicality. It's matter. It's the dull matter of the person. The quintessential. It's the furthest away. It even becomes sort of like a euphemism when we speak about the sexual drive or the sexual places. It's called ikva, right? We refer to it, the euphemism for it is the akev, right? Because it's something which, left to itself, can be something which is very physical, that has to be brought around to be made into something more lofty and spiritual. So says the Maharal, the akev is the physicality, the face is the spirituality, the heel of Adam HaRishon was like the sun. What does that mean? The way the Maral teaches it, the way Maral interprets it here is that just as the physical components of man are understood to be subject to the tzura of man, the sun itself is just like a piece of man's body. Now, instead of comparing the heel to the sun, the way the Maral is reading it, we're comparing the sun to the heel. And we're saying that the sun is a tool of man's as well. The sun is something that's going to be given its shape, its content, its direction by the human being. Just like the bottom of his body, just like the heel of his foot, we understand that its redeeming value, its direction, is going to come from, you know, the roish, the choices which are made by the person. So too, the sun itself is that way.
Well, we said before that this shemesh is the, because we have 365 days a year.
Gevaldik. That's exactly where the Maharal continues on. Once he says that, exactly, he says, like we said, the mitzvahs asay, mitzvahs lois asay, 248, 365, it's the world, it's the person, right? It's all going to be there around this. And he brings the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which we discussed, I think, in the first perek of the Tiferes, where the Mishnah says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. A human being is special that he's created B'Tzelem Elohim. And then Chaviv and Yisrael, the Jewish people, are precious because they are called children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Jewish people are Chaviv and are precious because they are given a Kli Chemda, they're given the Torah, Sheba Nivra Ha'elam. That, with it, the world was created. Says the Maharal, right? So we talked about it then, and there's a lot to talk about in that idea, in that choice, but that's the idea. The idea is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to man the tool that creates and that recreates the world, that makes the world over in its image. The Torah is that mastery which is given to man. The mastery of man of the world, that he's supposed to be the center of it, is not his technological know-how. That might be one level of it, like we talked about before, that puts man able to be at an advantage on a physical level. But the ultimate level is the Kli Chemda Shabay Nivra Ha'ilam, the Tzura, which man has, the achievement of the Tzelem Elohim, which man has through the Torah. What do we mean that, right? Because in Torah we say ultimately, one of those ultimate mitzvahs of Torah is V'alachta B'drachav, to be like Hashem. The value of Torah, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, is because Torah is Das Elohim, and through ingesting Torah into ourselves, into our way of thinking, we make ourselves like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which gives us that, so to speak, mastery of the world, of the universe, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, as Rav Chaim Volozhiner explains in the beginning of the Nefesh HaChaim, and uses it all the way through. That's Tzelem Elohim. It's that mastery of the world. So you're going to talk to me, man's going to lift himself up by studying Malachim and stars, where you don't see as man as master of the world, where you see man as a regular mundane creature, so he has to learn about Malachim who are higher, where you see man not as the master of the world, but you see him subject to as the world turns, right? So then he's subject to the stars and everything else. So you want to learn those things, you're going to raise yourself up. But we don't see him that way. We see man as being positioned to be the controlling factor of the world, to be above it all, to make it, to be above the Malachim, in the sense of having the ability to not just be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gopher bringing something down to this earth, but defining what the world down here is going to look like based on bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into it. That puts man at the top.
So the sun is what?
The sun is no. Here, the way he's saying it is that even the sun is just like man's heel. It's not that man's heel is like the sun, which is normally the way you would see it. Oh, wow, look, it became so bright like the sun. No, the sun is like man's heel. You have no question in your mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a heel on the bottom of your foot, but you understand that that's not a purpose. It's just that when you got to get from point A to point B, you're going to be able to use your foot. And, you know, he made a heel with a specific constitution because it helps you walk, you know, this way, that way, better, you know, and so on and so forth. You have no question that the heel is not your controlling factor. The heel is a tool which you use, and the value of the heel is going to be to the extent of where you're taking yourself, right? The same thing with the sun. The sun is like the heel of man. Its value is going to be to the extent to which man takes the world.
Subservient
to us.
So I'm still not sure that I understand. If it's subservient to us, then how is it we are called? We're called Melech HaTafel, but we're also Tafas HaShemesh. Ein Chadash El Tafas HaShemesh.
That's the whole Kehelas. In other words, you're exactly right. To the extent that a human being is living within the physical world, so he's Tafas HaShemesh. Kol She'enai Mekabel Olav Ol Teira, right? So then he has on him Ol Derech Eretz. He is subservient to the sun. So when a person's going to just live in the world of the cycles of the physical world, Tachas HaShemesh, you have that exercise in futility that Shlomo HaMelech describes so soberingly in Kehelas. The idea is you have to understand that you're supposed to be Me'al HaShemesh. There's a part of life within you that's Me'al HaShemesh. And
step out above
you got, that's exactly where you got to go. It's a Lekim Yirah. Get there. Get to Yirah Shemayim. Get the connection to Hashem. And then...
So the Mabul, which wiped out the world because of man's improper behavior, but it didn't affect the Shemesh.
Who says?
It did.
No. It did.
Blocked it out for a while.
After the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam HaRishon, from now on, winter, summer, fall, spring, so on and so forth, day and night won't stop. Say Chazal, Bichlal, that during the days of the Mabul, they did stop.
He turned off. He turned off the lamp.
Turned off the sun. Turned off the sun.
Dimmer switch.
The metaphor is even more powerful because in the times of the early Avodah Zarah, the sun was the most powerful god.
100%.
It was subservient. It's subservient to us.
Lim Shael, the pasuk says. Lim Shael. Lim Shael by Yom Valayla. Okay. Now, just as what he says here is poshut. Right, but he has a girsa in the Gemara, which Rabbi Hartman notes was in other defusim rishonim. I never knew this before. Famous Gemara, which we've also discussed before, which is the Gemara that says Atem Kruyim Adam. Right, you are called Adam. The nations of the world are not called Adam. When it comes to Tumas Ayil, you are called Adam, not the nations of the world. So the girsa, the way they have it in the Gemara, is V'loy Umay Sa'olam Makhishei HaTayra Kruyim Adam. The nations of the world who deny the Torah are not called Adam. Which now, that's the Girsa Keduma in the Gemara. Now, it's not what we have. We just have right? Umas Eilam or Avdei Kechavim are not called Adam. Right? Now, we don't have Machishe HaTorah, as far as I know. But he evidently had it as his Girsa. He evidently had it as his girsa, and he uses it repeatedly. Understand? Because on Tyra, without Tyra, so then you don't have this role of Adam of Tzelem Elokim to be able to achieve that position. Now, the Maral concludes the Perek by bringing the concepts together. In the Chazal, the concepts of this parak and the concepts beyond before this parak, in the Chazal, Gemara and Menachas. The Gemara has two statements, one after the other, patterned similar to each other. The Gemara says, Menachas Tafnam Nun Gimel Amidays, Yavai Toiv, V'Yikabel Toiv, Mi Toiv L'Toivim. Let the Toiv, the good one, come to receive that which is good from the one who is good to deliver to those who are good. What does that mean? Yavai Toiv Zeh Moshe. Moshe is called good because it says when Moshe was born, Batera Esai Ki Toivu. They saw that he was good. V'Yikabel Toiv, and he should collect, pick up that, receive that which is good. That refers to the Torah, as it says Ki Lekach Toiv Nasati Lochem. Mi Toiv, from the one who is good, as it says Toiv Hashem Lakol. Hashem is good to everybody. L'tayvim, and give it to the good ones, as it says, Heitiva Hashem l'tayvim. Hashem does good to those who are good. That's phase one of the Gemara. Phase two of the Gemara. Yavai Zeh, this one will come. V'yikabel Zeis, and receive this one. Zeis is also Zeh, feminine. Mizeh, from this one. La'amzu, to this people. Yavai Zeh refers to Moshe, as it says, Ki Zeh Moshe Ha'ish. V'yikabel Zeis, Zutaira, that it says v'zois ha'taira, mize zeh Hakadosh Baruch Hu d'siv zeh keli v'anveu, la'amzu elu Yisrael shenemar amzu kanisa. Okay, now the first part of the Gemara, I would say you'd read it, you'd have an easier time than the second part of the Gemara, right? To say the good comes to get the good from the good to give to the good, that's very nice. You know, you're saying the Torah is good, Hashem is good, Moshe is good, the Jewish people are good. It's all very, very good.
Sounds good.
Right? It's a good drasha. However, ze, zu, zeis, this will come to give to this, to give to that, to give to the other. I mean, like, you know, you could say that about this cup. You put in that tea. You know, like, what does that mean? And what does even the taiv mean? So says the Maharal that this is a two-layered drasha. Beautiful, elegant. Toiv implies Dover Shehu Nivdal Min HaChamri. Toiv implies that which is metaphysical, which is beyond the physical. How do I know, says the Maharal? Because Ra is Heder. Ra, bad, is something that will fall apart, will be mortal, will not make it forever. Ra is Chisorin and Heder. Toiv is that which is good, that which lasts, that which is eternal. The Gemara famously says that the second Luchos lasted forever. They didn't break. The first Luchos broke. Why? Because in the second Luchos, you had the letter Tes. You had the concept Toiv, Luman Yitav Loch. The second one said Toiv, they lasted. Ki Toiv, simple pshat, as the Ramban says, where, like we discussed earlier this morning, where does it say Ki Toiv in creation? This is the way it should remain. It's going to last this way, built to last. Goodness is that which lasts, right? Emes is Aleph Mem Tuf, beginning, middle, end. Sheker, falsehood, bad, is Kufreshin. Quick, flash in the pan, and then it's gone. This is a constant idea. Mortality is physicality. Physicality is the aspect of ourselves which is Ra. The Yetzer Hara, it's not evil or devilish or anything else, right? Forked red tail. Ra is physicality, right? The fact that you're a human being and you get hungry and you get tired and you have an appetite and you're interested in something, right? That's what we call Ra. Not because necessarily it's evil, but because it's mundane physicality. And mundane physicality, it's there. You have it, you satisfy the appetite, then it's gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. You can't take it with you. Toiv. Toiv is that which is permanent. Toiv is that which is eternal. Toiv is the nitzchius, which is the spirituality, and so on and so forth. So therefore, we speak about Moshe, who is Tov, who is beyond physicality more than the usual, who comes to receive the Torah, which is beyond physicality, from the Rabbeinu Shalom, who is beyond physicality, and gives it to the Jewish people, who are, in a certain sense, beyond physicality. Of course we have physicality. But as we stand, relative to the Umais, we have this potential of going beyond. So that's Toiv. That's that aspect of Torah. That it's introducing the metaphysical into the world. So those philosophers, remember last week's piece, right? Those philosophers who will say, well, oh, the person will lift himself up by studying the stars or by studying the malachim, right? No. You have to study that which is perfect, that which is metaphysical. The malachim, you might say, are metaphysical, but even the Maharal over here writes, he says, no, malachim also have an aspect of physicality to them. That's why they're not perfect. Toiv is introducing this spiritual component of the world, which has been his theme from the beginning. Zeh is that one. Zeh is not just general, it's specific. Zeh, says the Maharal, is the word for Tzura. Right? You take a blob of clay, and you take another blob of clay, and how do you distinguish this one from that one? You don't really. But once you take that blob of clay and you form it into a nice flower or into a cup or a bowl, then it gains an identity. Its tzura is what gives it identity. And that's why the Torah is called Zeh. That's why the Rabbeinu Shalom is called Zeh. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is called Zeh, Zu, Zeis, right? The Torah is called Zeis, excuse me, right? Klal Yisrael is called Zu. Because they zero in. They define, they give shape, direction, form. You know. Sometimes you hear people like to correct a Valkyra, right? They say b instead of ba, right? Or le instead of la. You know, come on, like what's the big deal? The difference is between ze and not ze, right? When you say with a b, or you know there it with a shava, there it's just saying. Right? He touches bimes, right? Bimes is he touches a corpse. Bames would mean that corpse, the direct object. You're looking at something specific. It's a whole different meaning. It's like taking a word out of the Torah if you say bi instead of ba. Right? Ba is that. Bi is any. Right? There's when you define, when you say that one, you're talking specific. Goal, purpose, shape, form. That's the goal over here. That's the role of Torah. That's what we were talking about before. The whole world existed, shapeless, without direction. The ultimate Bria, the consummate Bria, the Bria of Adam, man, placed there at the top of the world was direction. So the role of Torah, therefore, is twofold. That's what this Gemara so succinctly says. The role of the Gemara is Torah. It's good. It's that which brings the spiritual dimension into the physical world. It's that which is beyond this world, to add that higher dimension. And the role of Torah is to give direction to the entire world. To make the Galgal Chama, the heel of Adam, is because Torah becomes the defining characteristic of the person, and then everything else becomes supportive, you know, background, and so on and so forth. Those are the two aspects. Those are the two facets of the Torah: the spirituality, and the direction, and the purpose. And this is very real. It's very real. A person in life, and just we take this, these lofty thoughts of the Maral and bring it down to reality. When we engage ourselves in Torah, that's exactly what we're trying to do. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to do two things. We're trying to, number one, somehow elevate ourselves beyond just simply being motivated and conscious of and sensitive to the material, physical, mundane things that are there in the world. The Torah is our channel for that. It's our possibility for that. Right, when we're spending this time in Eli Yom Ne'ira, I'm doing tshuva. Right, what are we doing? Right, we're going to go. We're headed into the time when we're going to be exposing ourselves and involving ourselves in spirituality, in loftier things, more intensely than we do any other month of the year. Right, it's like coming home to sort of like get a recharge, connect to spirituality. Because, the rest of the year it's harder. We go for small, this is the big recharge. This is like changing the batteries. And the rest of the year, you plug it in for a couple of hours so you'll be able to shave in the car on the way to work. This is what it is. It's connecting to the spirituality. But Torah is not just spirituality. It's also direction. It also has to give meaning to every other thing. To give meaning to every other thing which we do. It has to give the direction to every other thing which we do. Now, the Rambam says, and we'll conclude with this thought. It's an important thought for Yom Ne'irayim. A big part of Yom Ne'irayim is Hashem Echad. Right? The ultimate pasuk of Malchus is Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. The Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah that a person who wants to have the crown of Torah, it means not a person who wants to fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah, be a good Torah observant Jew, but a person who wants to be that one in a million who has the crown of Torah. So al yasiach dati l'dvar macherim, he has to want only one thing in the world, and that's Torah. He's not interested in material comfort, right? He eats bread, drinks water, sleeps on the ground. He's not interested in fame. He's not interested in anything else. His entire focus in life is just accomplishment in Torah. Says the Rambam, if he wants anything else, he's not going to have the crown of Torah. Okay? Which explains why none of us have the crown of Torah. Right? Because we're not. So, what's the level below that? Is that there are also other things that you'll focus on, other things that you'll maybe want and need. But what you're going to do is, you're going to make sure that all those other things that you want and need, you end up bringing them for Torah. So that in some way, okay, it's not as pure, so to speak, not as absolute as a person who's only going to have ambition in Torah. But that the person is going to integrate every other ambition to be for the sake of Torah. That, look, what can I do? It's hard for me if I just eat bread and sleep on the ground and drink water. Right? So I need to do this other stuff. Right? And I realize that to some degree it's a separate motivation. But at the same time, I'm going to say I need to do it so that I will be able to be okay and I'll be able to accomplish in Torah. I'll be able to accomplish, I don't just mean in learning, I mean in action and everything which the Torah would want us to accomplish. So you take all of those things and you make them for the sake of Torah. Right? Again, the Keser Torah will be like Moshe Rabbein, who walked off the face of the earth. The only thing there was Torah. His family was left behind. His, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, he didn't have nothing. There was just Torah. So for us, we won't be able to do that. But we can make it that there's just one ultimate motivation of Torah, which trickles down to every other sub-motivation. And that's Echad. Huh? No, the Rambam says in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Keser Torah thing. What I'm telling you now, the Rambam doesn't say in Hilchos Talmud, does not say in Hilchos Talmud Torah, but the Rambam does say it in Hilchos Deis, where he speaks about B'chol Drachecha Dayov Yashar Chaysecha. You have to be involved in all these other things in the world. It's normal. But just do them for the sake of Torah, and then it's as if they're all there. When you say Shema, think about this every morning. Right? V'haftas Hashem Aleikecha, you should love Hashem, your God. Right? V'hayu Advar Ma'ela, these words of Torah should be on your lips, and you should speak about them when you travel, when you're sitting in the house, when you're going, and so on and so forth. What does that mean? That doesn't mean just that you're talking and learning along the way. It means in everything that you do. Right? And the Rambam writes this also at the end of Hilchos Tshuva. Right? That it's all towards Torah. It's all for the sake of Torah. It's all, right? Everything you do, when you're sleeping, when you're eating, when you're working, everything, it's all for that. That's the idea of Torah as Tzura. Torah provides you with spirituality. But beyond providing you with spirituality, it takes your heel, it takes every other aspect of your life, and it makes it zeh. It's for this purpose. It gives it direction. It gives it direction. And that's the idea of focusing in on direction at this time. This time is not just a time for enhanced spirituality. It's a time for recalibrating our direction and seeing where we'll be able to go. We should do it with success.